All right. So we'll go ahead and step through this. One of the things that actually has received a significant amount of discussion on the mailing list, and this actually fell out of the 3265 BIS effort because there was a suggestion that, hey, we need to include this other header in your Table 2 expansion, is exactly what we need to do about SIP Table 2 and Table 3. Let's go ahead and go to the first slide. So the problem is that, well, just as a quick summary, Table 2 and Table 3, if these terms don't necessarily mean anything to you, they're the big table in 3261 that tells you what fields must not, and may appear in each kind of SIP method. So it basically says, you know, invites must have a to, must have a from, that kind of stuff. And there is text in there that effectively makes the table normative. So this means that for a lot of header fields, you end up with basically two places describing normative behavior around whether it may appear in a message. You end up with some description in the prose about where these things appear, and then table two is going to normatively say this is either mandatory, optional, or forbidden. Now, as we added new methods and as we added new header fields, this table was updated kind of haphazardly. Some people would update it, some people wouldn't. And so you end up with a lot of gaps. And also, just on a cursory examination of what's in there right now, when you merge all those together, there are some things that are clearly wrong that need correcting if we're going to continue to use this. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. So obviously, the situation that we have right now is not sustainable. There's no one watching this table as it expands, and you end up with sort of a indistinct mess. So as far as I can tell, there are about two ways that we can handle this. We can either come up with a full table two, filling in all the gaps, and then update the IANA procedures that say whenever you're going to define a new header field or whenever you're going to define a new method, we need to go to IANA and say, here is the new stuff that needs to be added to table two to make it a complete table. The other option is we basically issue a document that says, table two, this is not actually useful as we've learned from implementation experience, and we are just going to deprecate it as normative. It's no longer something that you want to use as an implementation. If you want to include a header field in a particular method, go read about that header field and it'll tell you where to put it. Now, of course, we could always just decide to ignore the issue and argue about it from time to time. Say something, Keith?
Yeah, the problem, sorry, Keith Trage, the problem you have with the current table is that no one actually understands from the table the purpose for which you're actually making the statement of mandatory or optional, and therefore you can't actually determine whether the rest of the items are correct or incorrect. So, for example, in many cases you're basically inserting a header field because it's valid for all requests that initiate a dialogue, or valid for all standalone transactions, or valid for everything that is an invite dialogue, or some rule like that.
Right.
And in many cases, we have not made that fundamental statement before we've actually started filling in the table. So, for example, when I get to RFC 3329, for example, the SecAgree document, you probably actually want to do all the analysis of SecAgree before you actually even look at what the method name is. But if you actually look at that, you'll find that you've got different entries in the table per method, but you haven't actually got any way of working out whether that is correct, or whether, for example, on PRAC, you should really deal with the SecAgree headers rather than not. And it's currently different for PRAC. So, you know, I mean, you've got no way at the moment of knowing fundamentally whether the entries in the table actually do conform to a consistent pattern because of what the design rules were in the first place. So I think fundamentally in the RFCs, we ought to be stating we include this header in all requests that initiate a dialogue or something like that, or whatever applies,
right,
rather than trying to make sure that we start with table two and three entries. We can derive table two and three entries once we know what those rules are for the particular header, and indeed when we then invent a new method, we actually know what goes in because of the new method. So we've just hit a whole new set of scenarios because info has been revised. And don't know what actually happens.
I agree that having that sort of information in the prose is definitely the way that we should do things. I'm not certain that actually taking that and then echoing it into a table two is going to be all that useful, because again, you end up with normative behavior specified in two different places, and that's a recipe for having conflicts.
Well, no, I mean, the starting point should be the rules for what the usage is in much more generic terms than just saying for this method, particular method, this header applies or this header does not apply.
Right.
We need to say for this particular class of methods, request or response, this header is used.
Right, and that's something you're going to express in prose, right? Putting that into
yes.
a table would be...
Yeah, no, so we start with that in prose. That should be the starting point for what we're doing.
Yeah, I think there's some violent agreement here, and then what Adam's asking is, what's the next step? And I think my position as an individual contributor on this is that that is the only step. You have to do the prose anyhow. And that table two is actually causing damage, has caused damage to the implementation community, not just the specification churn community. And that we really should take the approach that was on the previous slide, the bullet that says, you know, let's go ahead and put down a consensus artifact record that we're not going to do this anymore. You know, there's been some discussion on the list about, you know, well, let's go ahead and charge up a hill and build a table that we could put in an IANA registry, and then we could just have a maintenance effort on this IANA registry. This comes with a bunch of questions that haven't been asked yet about, well, is anything in that registry normative? Or is it just a sequence of pointers back into documents? And how do you deal with what happens when the pointer is into not IETF documents, given the current, the new change process? You know, we're going to have things that would end up in a table two if we were maintaining a table two somewhere that would have to end up in there because of documents that were coming from other SDOs, right? I don't see the value in trying to maintain this centralized registry where you're going to have to go to the RFCs anyhow. And you can get pointers into these other documents just from the registry of the name of the header already. Being able to find these things already exists. We get damage in the implementation community because people read the table and, like, they read examples and think that's the spec. We get into arguments about whether or not a contact header is required in an invite on a modern implementation. We see the same damage in specifications. I had to deal with a document out of the ECRIT working group that was saying, we are making a normative change to 3261. We are requiring that you put a contact header in your invite. 3261 requires that you put a contact header in your invite. It allows you to deal with not having a contact there if it shows up. But you have to go into the text to see that. You go look at the table and invite contact, it's got an O, right?
Colin Jennings, as an individual, yeah, plus one, what Robert just said, I'd like someone to speak up about what they think the value of this table is, if anything. I mean, it's caused endless arguments, it's wasted tons of time in meetings like this, as it is right now, and I don't know what the end value of it is.
Its value is in the absence of the information that you should be putting there. You do need to know which methods you're allowed to put a header into and what it actually means in that header when you receive it.
Right, but the definition of the header field
so that's where you still need the prose text that I was advocating earlier that actually says, for these rules, this is when you include the header and this is when you don't. We shouldn't be just saying, I'm not going to specify anything at all.
Oh, no. One's proposing we don't specify anything at all. I think.
So if I can just follow on and say, there is an additional problem with the current Table 2 stuff, as it's really only focused around what you're allowed to send and doesn't actually give you the status of what you're allowed to receive.
I'm not sure allowed to receive makes sense. You might want to rephrase that.
But, I mean, basically, for anything you send, there's also a receiver requirement. From Table 2, you're actually left inferring what the receiver requirement is, whether it's mandatory to support reception of that, or whether you can just ignore it when it says optional.
Okay.
So things like that.
Right. Stuff that can't really be reasonably expressed in Table 2, you need to define
something. And the other point I would make is that anything you put in an IANA registry cannot be normative by definition. You cannot make an IANA registry normative on an RFC because the IANA registry can change and therefore change the contents of the RFC.
Which is a good point.
Krista Holmberg, well, however we implement this, I think it would be extremely useful because how much information, whether we have an M or dash or more reference, whatever, I mean, that needs to be, but in general, I think it would be very useful. I get a lot of questions from people working in SDOs and implementers, say, what about this header with this method? You know, it's not specified anywhere. And then, you know, assuming that we don't do this, then, I mean, let's take 3.2.6.5 bis, for example. I mean, I raised this question. Assuming we don't do this, should we put now every header, every SIP header we know about into table 2 or 3.2.65 and all the other specs we're doing? And what about existing RFC where we have existing?
No, Krista, you missed my point. By not doing this, we stop putting table 2-like things in all documents. We count on the pros. We're not talking about not doing the IANA thing and then continuing to do what we're doing in the documents now where we have these adjunct table 2 things. No, we stop doing that.
I do have some, if we're going to take this on, it's a lot of work. It really is. There are at least 144 rows in this table by now with 14 columns. And there are on the order of 432 unique cells that are either empty because they haven't been defined when someone defined a new method or a new header field, or they're wrong. I mean, just looking at them saying that that's clearly not what should be there. So on top of that, if this does end up in IANA, it's going to be the most complicated thing that anyone has ever asked IANA to do, right? This isn't like a list with RFCs. This is, here is a two-dimensional table that whenever we add things needs to grow in some dimension. And the prospect of how we're going to coordinate adding things to that, especially when you have multiple drafts in flight, is basically, from where I'm sitting, untenable. So, I mean, it's, even if this is something that people see value in, we have to sit down and think, is this really worth the level of effort that it's going to take to get it started and to maintain it? John?
John, I will. Yeah, I mean, table 2, I often refer to it. If someone queries something, I will refer to that. I suppose in 80% of the cases, it probably gives me a sensible answer. But I think, yeah, I agree we need to do something. I agree also that trying to do a two-dimensional thing in IANA would be a nightmare. I can't see how that would work. We would ask them to do something they haven't done before. But I also think that there are probably a lot of cases where there are things in Table 2 that simply aren't reflected in the text. So I guess I share Keith's opinion. I'd like to be proved wrong on that.
Okay.
But we would have to go through that exercise, and that's not just in RFC 3261, and it's all the RFCs that extend Table 2. So it would be quite a big exercise to deprecate it. But if we're going to do anything at all, that's probably the only approach.
Okay.
I'm in line behind Dale.
All right. If you want to stand down there, you can.
Did you get in line before I got in line back here? Did you get in line before I got in line back here?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Dale.
Dale Worley. waiting till the peanut gallery quiets down here. Okay, in regard to this table, I would like to argue that the table is actually of no value, and so therefore ought to be just to be disposed of. Speaking as an implementer, I have never gone to the table and used it to decide what to do in any sense. What times I've actually had to look at the table, my first test has been to go through and check that the entries in whatever part of the table was presented were valid. Part of the trouble is that the table is organized in terms of method and header name. But what you really want to say is the feature, does the feature that this method is part of utilize the feature that this header is part of? And it also disguises, in some cases, the same header name is used for distinctly different purposes. The contact header and the response to an invite has a different meaning than the contact header in a 300 response, because you expect to do a different thing with it. So the fact that these are all bundled in one column of a table is more deceptive than informative. And you know, in the end, the fact that there's an entry in the table that says something is really sort of useless, because what you're really saying is, do I implement this feature in this within this method or something like that? Whereas you know, the existence of the table is mostly sort of used by people who see these things as being long checklists, but they organize the checklist in a way that doesn't really match the facilities of SIP and the implementing of the facilities of SIP. And so it doesn't get you anything in practice other than people keep asking about the entries that happen to be wrong, and you have to then look them up and figure out what's going on and correct them. So there's you know, and in terms of maintaining the table, there's it's not the question is how complicated is the work we're asking Anna to do. The question is who's going to volunteer to do this wretched task on an ongoing basis. To which I believe the correct answer is nobody will.
Okay, so I'll be short.
Spencer
and sweet.
Adds, okay. No one that you want to do it, and I have to admit he is correct.
Okay, Mary Barnes, I don't think.
Hey, I'm in line before.
Oh,
him.
I'm sorry. Well, Krister said I could go.
Excuse me.
Paul Kizabeth. I think John said part of what I wanted to say, which is, yeah, I mean, I started out being in favor of doing this in terms of a IANA thing, just to have a malleable place to keep it. But I have been persuaded of the impracticality of it, I think. But deprecating Table 2 has its own issues, because I'm pretty sure there are things where the only normative statement of where the method or the header is allowed is in Table 2. I'm not certain of that, but I strongly suspect that there are a number of things for which the only normative statement is in Table 2, or it's the addition in the draft where it is. So I think in the short term we would have to say that whatever has already been published, to the extent that it provides normative statements, is still valid. And I mean, maybe somehow in the fullness of time, as things get revised, that can be cleaned up.
Wow. Okay. there are things that add stuff to Table 2 that I don't think we're ever opening again. I mean, in digging through this effort and looking at all the stuff, I mean, there are musty old mine shafts that are just full of cobwebs and bats.
I think we're going to need to be really careful with work going forward to make sure that in lieu of Table 2 kind of stuff, that each draft is very is very careful to fill in its row or its column. The equivalent of the logic of that.
We have 5 minutes before we need to turn the room over. Can we drain the comments very quickly?
I'm done.
Okay. Mary Barnes, I'm going to be short and sweet here. I don't think we need this unified table. I don't think that you can do it. It's not deterministic enough. I don't think it's going to add clarity. Table 2, as it is right now, isn't helpful. We've already took it out of 4244 biz because it provides no useful information. I believe that all the things beyond 3261 and the core drafts actually have the right text in there that's normative language versus relying on Table 2. There may be stuff buried in there, like Adam says, 3261 core stuff, that doesn't have it, but I'm suspicious that that's not the case, actually.
Krister Homer, I mean, regarding who's going to maintain this, I think that whoever writes a draft or RFC or something which would, modify this table, he should be responsible for, making sure that the table is updated. And regarding, yes, I agree, there's a lot of work to do. I mean, we're already doing something similar in 3GPP, as I guess Keith can, tell you more about, and it gives a lot of headache. But it's very useful, from people implementing and writing test specifications and things like that. So I think it's useful. I don't think at this point we need to decide exactly how this would be done. And I guess the question is, is there interest to do this? And maybe, you know, to start with, we could, you know, define some kind of a design team or group or whoever to start looking into this and you know, come back at the next meeting or at some point and say, you know, this is the output and you know. And maybe we find out now everything is normatively described in the text everywhere. We can just throw away table two and we don't need to do anything else. Or we can show that, hey, there's a lot of things which is not described in the text and it actually needs to be somehow indicated, whether it's table two or table whatever and wherever. I mean, that's. I think it would be a good study. Thank you.
This is Spencer Dawkins. So I really liked these tables the first time I saw 3261. I have learned the error of my ways since then. I'm wondering if there's anybody who has not learned the error of their ways about these tables to where they want to actually do the work. You know, that might be a question you could actually hum on.
Okay.
Keith Drage. So just coming back on a couple of things. First of all, the tables talk about the whether you're allowed to use that particular header within a method. They don't talk about whether you have to support or not. So the support level of requirement, which is what the testers are interested in, is not covered in this document, and you've still got to infer that information from the table and from the rest of the document. Secondly, I'm not as confident as Mary that all other documents after 3261 adequately cover the information that is otherwise in the table 2 in the text itself. They certainly do not. So in some documents, all the information you've got about what methods a header is available in are the extension to table 2 text. And if you really need to solve this, then you've got to do an update RFC that updates an awful lot of the existing SIP extensions to actually put the text in place if you want to deprecate table 2. So you can't just do a deprecation. You've got to actually do an RFC that updates, that also writes some new text in there.
Yeah, 1 minute.
Thank you.
You have 1 minute? Okay. John Peterson. I think deprecating is one thing. Not continuing with it is another. The fact that that some of the information is only in these tables in some documents, I think in no way obligates us to somehow reconcile this and make sure that this is going to work in perpetuity. It just doesn't. So the places where it is, this is the only reference to whether you can A, M, or D, or R, or whatever, that's fine. Leave it there, and we're not going to revise all those documents, but please, let's not try to schematize this and force people to conform to it in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say roughly the same, that it seems that we are eager to find ourselves something to do because, you know, we have too much cycles. I mean, like, you know, discontinue doing it, and we don't have to go through, you know, deprecation and stuff like that. Just, you know, don't do anything.
Okay.
And we got to yield the SIPREC now.
Yeah, I just want, again, for visual effects, to kind of like I did with the previous one. So just to make sure people kind of understand what a full table 2 would look like, I'm not saying this is accurate, but this is more or less what we would end up with at the end of the day, is something on the order of this size, where all the green squares are the things that aren't clearly specified because whatever wrote that down didn't actually indicate whether this was allowed, optional, et cetera. And it's going to be a huge honking mess of work. Just close down the conversation. So, anyway, I appreciate the offer that Spencer made that we might want to take this to a hum. At this time, and I'm speaking as chair, I think we probably want to formulate our options a little bit more closely because there are kind of some other spaces to explore, obviously, aside from update and keep updated versus deprecate, because we have to kind of evaluate the value of what this table in its existing form does, the points that, you know, for example, Keith has raised, whether we're actually going to be removing actual behavior by deprecating it. So I'd like to have a little more discussion on the list around this, and then we can probably call for consensus before Maastricht. I don't think doing it in this room is necessarily going to be all that useful.
So. Yeah,
we have Friday still. Maybe sometime between now and then we can formulate some reasonable options, and if people have opinions on what those options might be, please do post them. And now I'm going to yield to SIPREC. Who are the SIPREC chairs? John and Okay, great. Thank you very much. And we need